This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life into the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Rip Barr has a humorous story that is in Jewish circles about an old man that went to the same diner every day. And once the manager noticed his regularity, he asked him, "How did you enjoy your meal?" Every day he got the same thing, soup de jour and a couple of pieces of bread that went with it. And he said, "Well, it was good, but you could give a little more bread. Two slices is not quite enough." So he came back the next day, and the manager told the waitress, "Give him four slices of bread today." "Well, how was your meal?" "Well, it was good, but you could have given a little more bread." The next day, "Give him eight slices, double it." And he asked him, "Well, how was your meal today?" And he said, "Well, it was good, but you could have given a little more bread." So she said, "Double it again, 16 slices, a whole loaf." And I gave him that as he was eating his soup, and he ate it all. And "How was your meal today?" He said, "Well, it was good, but you could have given more bread." And so he went to the bakery. He was obsessed with this now. He wanted this man to be pleased. And he got the baker to make him a loaf of bread 6 feet long. And they sliced it in half, buttered it and everything, put it on the counter there with the soup de jour. And then after that day, the manager looked at him and said, "And how did you enjoy your meal today?" And he said, "Well, it was good as usual, but I noticed that you've cut back to only two pieces of bread again." You know, there's some bread that just quite never satisfies. You just can't get enough of it. Or when you do think that you've gotten enough of it, it's not long before you need more of it. There's a kind of bread in this world that is like that. And Jesus was very aware that we needed that kind of bread. I mean, probably stands out nowhere stronger than when he said, "When I was hungry, you fed me." Because Jesus is very aware that there are many in this world that never get their physical hunger satisfied. I think about that quite often. I don't know. I didn't choose to be born in America. I didn't choose to be one of the ones that was blessed. I have never been hungry a day in my life, nor have any of the rest of the necessities of life ever been denied me. I have been more than blessed every day of my life. And you don't think about that so much until maybe you see on TV a third world country where they are showing mothers with young children that simply are starving to death and are not really going to survive from the disease and everything else that goes with that. We take it for granted, but we shouldn't. And we should never take for granted our responsibility of trying to feed the world. Most of the time, humanitarian efforts, missional efforts begin with physical feeding. But Jesus knew that that was not where it ends. God provided for our daily bread. And all of the Bible talks about bread in many ways, the physical bread. I mean, what made the children of Israel end up in Egypt to begin with their defining story of needing to be delivered from slavery? They went there because they were hungry. There was a famine in their land. Egypt had a surplus, so it started with a need for bread. When they were going through the promised land, or to the promised land through the wilderness for 40 years, God fed them bread from heaven, the manna. It was a very critical part. And one of the greatest things that Superman Moses was kind of given credit for is being able to see that whole nation fed through 40 years. When Jesus was in his 40-day experience out in his wilderness, the desert, he saw those round white rocks. When I was in Israel, Jim Fleming reminded us that this is what Jesus was looking at. And they looked like loaves of bread, and he was tempted to turn them into bread for himself while he was fasting, but also tempted to be the kind of person in this world that would get a following by feeding the world. People follow when they're fed. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you wanted to have maybe a real relationship with someone that is much less fortunate than you, and finding yourself in a situation after a while where it sort of deteriorated to where you're giving the bread and they're receiving it, and then they're telling you how much they need it now. I mean, it could be the power bill that needs to be paid, or transportation, or to help them with getting to a doctor, or helping them with groceries, and it can all of a sudden become something where you are you're primarily the one that is in the position, because you're in a good position to keep giving and to keep giving, and that's about as far as the relationship goes. It's hard for it to become deeper and more spiritual, and Jesus knew that. Of all of the things that are there about feeding and about bread, this scene from our scripture today follows the feeding of the 5,000 earlier. And I think that was the scripture maybe last week while I was gone. But in the aftermath of that, Jesus made his disciples go back to the other side of the lake from where they were, to Capernaum. And Jesus, as you remember that night, came and joined them, came to them first in the storm on the sea and then joined them in Capernaum. But the people were looking for him. They couldn't find him. And finally, they got in boats and knew that he was usually around Capernaum. And they went and they found him and they said, "Where were you?" And you remember what he said to them. Very interesting. He said, "You're not looking for me because you saw signs, these miracles, these signs of the kingdom breaking in, the signs of the Messiah. You're here because you got fed. You got loaves to your fill. You filled up, and you're looking for another meal. This is just the day after." And already it was beginning where they wanted Jesus to be one who would continue to do this great thing that he did the day before and keep feeding them, keep giving them this physical food. And Jesus was just telling them, you need to aim higher than that. You don't need to aim for food that is perishable, because I didn't come in this world simply to feed your physical body. I came to feed your soul. I came to give you life. And that's the first I am saying. I am the bread of life. It's a big, big saying of Jesus. And he's saying that I am the bread of heaven, and the Father has sent me here in order to feed you with every need you have, every need, however deep it is. And the more spiritually deep it is, or the more you find yourself in circumstances where physical food will never help you at all, you will find that the bread that I come to give you will meet you right where you have your greatest, your deepest, even your most ultimate needs. Even in your suffering, even in your dying, I can give you what you need. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never be hungry again. It's a big, big claim. And they knew it. They said, well, okay, what works should we do? And Jesus said, well, here's what you do first. You believe. You believe in the one, the bread of heaven that God has sent. And they said, okay, well, what sign are you going to give us so that we will believe? It looks like the 5,000 was not enough. I mean, do you find that to be an odd question after he has fed them the day before on a hill and had baskets of food left over after feeding 5,000? Why do they mean, give us a sign? Well, they liked that sign, but they thought it could be a lot more. And one of the things was they thought that the Messiah, when he came, would be a lot greater than Moses. And what they said was, you know, Moses fed us for 40 years. I mean, and it wasn't from some boy's, you know, barley loaves and fish that he brought that day. It was just bread from nowhere, right out of heaven. And he fed the nation of people for 40 years. What about that? That would be great. That would be great if you would do that. But Jesus reminded them that all he had and all that they needed was himself. I'm reading a book again, Alive in Christ. It's an expression that Paul had. It's really in the scriptures 172 times. Maxie Dunham was the one that was writing this book, but he was quoting E. Stanley Jones. When E. Stanley Jones, in his 23rd book, after being a missionary in India for 51 years, was saying, you know, I wanted to focus on, if I were to take everything that I know and I were bring it down, reduce it to its simplest form, to its most obvious expression, what would that be? And he said, for me, that is the expression in Christ. What we really have is a way of actually having a relationship with this divine person, Christ. And you can't go any deeper than in. To be in Christ means that you're not just near Christ, you don't just believe Christ, you're not just committed to Christ, but you are in Christ. Christ is the power of your life. Christ is actually in you, and Christ is in this world through you, in Christ. And so he wrote this book, In Christ, for that purpose, to help us all to understand that this is what God has given us. A chance right now to be with the cosmic Christ, the incarnate Christ, the crucified and risen Christ, the Christ who is with us in the Holy Spirit, just as real as he was when he was here in person. And all of this is still a gift from God. After one of his speeches, E. Stanley Jones had a non-Christian to stand up to end the service that he was in. And he said to the audience, after E. Stanley Jones had shared this message, He said, what he has said today, if it isn't true, it doesn't matter. He said, but if what he has just said is true, then nothing else matters. And that's where we are. Most of you are here right now because you have discovered throughout your life that indeed nothing else matters. When Maxie was talking about this, he was talking about a group of six women that was with him in a prayer group that he was doing at Lake Junaluska. And after they left, one of the women wrote him a letter and said, I just want you to know who you were with this week. I'm with these women every week. We're in a prayer group at 6:30 every Thursday morning. And he said, one of them is an alcoholic. She's now been without a drink for 12 years. Said, one of them is a woman whose husband left her and is now living with a fancy lady. He's living with her, but she is living in Christ with us every week. One woman has just been through a battle with cancer. One has just put her mother in a nursing home in anguish because of advanced arteriosclerosis. Said, there's one woman whose husband had an affair with another woman. Both of those women are now in our prayer group and each week pray together holding hands. And one was on the verge of a nervous breakdown right before we were with you in Junaluska. She said, I just wanted you to see, or maybe to give you a little proof, that we really are alive in Christ. And that joy and peace in the Lord is real while we still grind through life. And then she ended it with kind of a humorous comment. She said, I bet you'd like to know which one was which. But it doesn't matter. That's a secret. But it's no secret what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We are about to look at bread once again as a symbol for this life that has been given to us. And thank God for the bread from heaven. Will you pray with me? God, we are so grateful that the life that we have is life in you, or it is not life as we long for it. And we thank you that in Christ you have given us more than what we need in order to have life now and eternally in your precious care. In Jesus' name, amen.